Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, after playing with the Ouija board, she had some strange experiences. Were the experiences connected to the Ouija board? Was it a coincidence, or did she just imagine it?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number. If you want to share your real ghost story with us, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get access to all of our episodes ad-free. Check it out, patreon.com/realghoststories. Or our premium channel on Apple, or ghostpodcast.com. Lots of ways to get in on all of that. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
When's the last time you used a Ouija board?
I don't think I've ever truly used a Ouija board.
Are you serious? I thought for sure you would have one as a young man.
I remember... Okay, so here's the one time I tried it. I was probably 12 or so, in Black River Falls, Wisconsin, with my second cousin. And he had one in his room. And I remember my parents, my mom was like, don't ever touch those. Don't ever go near them. So I was like, let's break that out. And we got it and nothing happened. Nothing didn't. I've never been a participant of a successful Ouija board session ever. How about you?
I don't know. I'm thinking like, okay, so how has your life been since then? Like, did something attach to you and you haven't even thought about it? I mean,
it's been utter hell since that day in 1992. Now, I don't connect anything to it. It didn't work. It didn't move. We tried it for probably all of 60 seconds.
Was it like the Parker Brothers version of it?
Yeah, it was like the Parker Brothers version. Yeah.
No. Well, you got to be careful with those things. You'll end up like Reagan in the Exorcist, and then what do you do?
You know, you get a lot of YouTube views if that shit started going down in your house. I'll tell you what, you'd be a millionaire if that shit started happening. That's almost worth trying.
I was just going to say, if you really want to be a YouTuber or a TikToker right now, get out the Ouija board, give her a shot.
Now, everybody, you know, there's so many people that, you know, are into paranormal and they have their YouTube channels and they have this or that and they're all pretending to be Zach Bagans. And it's just really sad. But what does it mean if we are able to conjure shit up like that easily, why isn't anybody just doing this for the notoriety and getting it on YouTube?
I guess maybe the thought of being in purgatory for the rest of your being. I don't know.
Oh, purgatory. Everybody. Oh, it's just you know, it's funny. I on the other show, Hidden Killers, which if you like true crime, search for that wherever you get podcasts. I was airing phone calls the other day from Lori Vallow Daybell. She's the Mormon doomsday mom, if you've followed that at all. And it's the phone calls are, you have a phone call from Purgatory Correctional Facility. And that was the name of the, no, actually it wasn't Lori Daybell. It was Ruby Frankie, the mommy bloggers who tortured their children. But Purgatory Correctional Facility, like, could it be any more of a crazy, like, who came up with the name here? Like, bravo. That's a good name for what this is.
I like their sense of humor. I'll be honest with you.
I do too. I think that's kudos to whoever decided, let's name it this. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to the phone call and hear the Ouija story. Hi.
This is Jessica. I'm calling from Hampton, Virginia. I've got a couple of Ouija board stories. This actually took place, I want to say, my junior year of high school. I grew up in California, and I lived in this really small town called Dixon. And in the town, there was literally a railroad track that went through the town. And a friend of mine lived in this huge Victorian house that was actually turned into apartments. Anyways, a little backstory about the house. So it's right by the railroad tracks, and my friend that actually stayed there, her name was Diva, she told me the history of the house, and apparently it was a cat house back in the day, and which was made sense because it was pretty centrally located. People got off the train and, you know, went there, did their business, and got back on and left. She had, you know, a psychic come through and kind of, you know, find out some of the things that were going on in the house because she was experiencing some paranormal stuff. There had been deaths that had happened in the house. One guy had hung himself in the front parlor of the downstairs apartment. A little boy fell out of the second story apartment. Apparently there were like abortions that were done in the downstairs bathroom. Guy actually killed his wife and buried her under the house because they have an unfinished basement, actually, and all kinds of really creepy stuff. So, and actually her and her roommate had been attacked more than once by a male entity. So I knew about all this stuff prior. Well, the story that I'm going to tell you, this actually took place in Halloween. She had a Halloween party, and, you know, she had a bunch of people there. And as the night was kind of progressing, I noticed this guy. He wasn't really talking to anybody, and he looked a little out of place, and I noticed that his necklace was a pentagram. I went up to my friend, and I said, well, who's that? She said, I have no idea. She said, I've been trying to ask people who the hell this guy is, and nobody knows. I said, well, you know, it's your party. You should probably go and ask how the hell he got in, because this wasn't like an open house. You know, it was by invitation only. So apparently they had found out that he, I don't know who he came with, but he was like, I'm not going to say priest or whatever, but he was the head of the satanic cult in the town that we lived in. And I said, oh, well, that's great. You know, first off, I was thinking, well, where are the cats? Because, you know, she had a whole bunch of cats that lived with her, and I was, you know, huge animal lover. So, of course, I wanted to know where their location was, because if any animals came up missing, he was going to walk out with a severe limp, at least. So, but the animals were all fine and whatever. Well, it came time that we were going to start doing party games, and, of course, party game of the night was to play with the Ouija board. Now, I had played with the Ouija board prior, and that was another story that I was going to tell you guys. And I, you know, got a little freaked out or whatever, but it was nothing that I couldn't handle. Something told me, you know, when she announced that, you know, what we were all going to be doing, something told me, don't get on the board with him. Because I really didn't get a good vibe from this dude. They go to sit down, and the guy's like, well, let me play. They were like, okay. Well, we ended up pouring salt around the perimeter of where they were sitting at the table. And everybody just kind of filled in and watched and whatnot. The guy said, well, I'm going to conjure up a demon. I want to talk to this demon. He called him Nicodemus. I don't know if this is his real demon name, but that's the name he said. And he looked very serious about it. They were like, okay, let me just tell you, I've never seen that planchette move so damn fast in my life. I mean, it was spelling out stuff very quickly. I don't remember the whole conversation, but a lot of people were starting to get a little creeped out and starting to kind of back off a little bit. I just didn't get a good vibe. So I actually, when they finally took a break, I just said, you know what, just go ahead and, you know, somebody needs to take me home because I lived across town and I didn't drive yet. My friend, actually, Diva, she actually, I think it was her, she took me home and I just said, you know what, just watch this guy because he's creepy. Anyways, I got home that night, and let me tell you, I just felt like I was being watched the entire time. Just felt real oppressive, like a heaviness on my chest as I went to bed that night. I had all kinds of nightmares, but that was the last time that I messed with the Ouija board, because You know, I mean, as a Christian now, I know that whatever spirit you think that you're trying to talk to on there, 9 times out of 10 is not a spirit, and it probably is a demon or some kind of negative spirit. They'll tell you anything you want to hear, because most of the time it's half-truths. That's the first story. The second story, this one's short. This was my first time I experienced a Ouija board. I actually went to Toys R Us. This was back when I was, I want to say about 14 or 15. It was right, it was the day before Christmas Eve. Not Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. And with, I took some of my Christmas money and I went to Toys R Us. And I've always been a fan of horror movies and everything. So, you know, I'd seen movies with the Ouija board and I said, well, you know, that's something I want to try out. I was going to be spending the next couple of nights with my friend. And so I told her I was getting it and that we could play with it and whatnot. And another one of her friends came over. The spirit or whatever the hell it was that we were talking to on there, at first it was pretty passive, but then eventually, I don't know how the conversation came about. The people that I used to hang out with, they were in gangs. And the spirit portrayed itself as a person from a rival gang. So anyways, so the girl, my friend's friend, she was, you know, talking back and forth with the spirit, and basically, there were a lot of negative comments going back and forth. I don't remember if we ended up saying goodbye or not, to kind of close it out. But later that night, and I stayed with my friend in her room. I slept in the bed with her. On the side that I was sleeping on, there was a window, and then there was like a bench so that you could look out of the window. And one side, there was like this huge teddy bear, but I just kept feeling like something was sitting there and watching me. And I couldn't go to sleep for the longest time. And I felt like I was being touched pretty inappropriately. But I don't know. Eventually I went to sleep. Well, the next, night we were having a party. It was New Year's Eve, and I was getting ready, and I happened to feel something on my stomach, and I pulled up my shirt. I had 3 perfect scratch marks going down my stomach. And I was like, okay, this is weird, because I'm not wearing anything that would make that kind of, those kinds of marks. So I didn't say anything. I just kind of put my shirt down and was like, okay. Well, then about 20 minutes later, I went to go look in the mirror to check the scratches out again, and they were gone. I mean, completely gone. Like there was never scratches there to begin with. My skin looked normal. I went back a little bit later, looked at it again. They were back, and then later on, they were gone again. So it just, I didn't know anything about, you know, supernatural. I was, you know, young, and anything I knew was from movies, but I just thought that was kind of freaky. So, anyways, I hope you guys like my story. I really enjoyed listening to the podcast. I'll continue to listen to it, and I will be calling back with some more supernatural experiences that I have encountered since I've lived here in Virginia. Okay? Thanks.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Thoughts on that?
One thing that I've been kind of taught over the years when it comes to paranormal and woo-woo stuff and all that is set your intentions and know the people that you're hanging around with. I think in real life, the people we hang out with have a big impact on who we become. And I think when you're investigating or even messing around with Ouija boards and stuff like that, whether you believe in them or you don't, you just want to know who the heck you're investigating with. You want to know who you're, you know, doing Ouija board stuff with. And if you don't know that person really, really well, just skip those parties. Do not go. Do not sit down by a Ouija board. Don't do any of that kind of stuff because you just don't know.
Yeah, I can see that. And it can go bad very quickly, as we heard about in this story. So don't go on Craigslist and go, who wants to do Ouija boards with me?
And if the guy's sitting next to you, and listen, I know some people who are satanic and whatever, but if they seem a little creepy, whether they're satanic or Christian or whatever, probably skip that.
Oh, those Satanists. They're wacky. The wacky Come Satanists. Yeah, it's probably not a good idea to do Ouija boards with Satanists.
Probably not.
They should put that I wonder if that's like in the rules of the game. Does the Ouija board come with a set of rules or anything? It's like, don't do this with Satanists, or like, is there any disclosure that's on there?
I'm not sure, but if there's not, I think Parker Brothers needs to step up and do it.
They're going to get sued at some point.
That's right.
Exactly. It's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, check it out on Apple Podcasts, patreon.com/realghoststories, or ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.